Hello, this is Robert Lamondry, New York City's Buildings Commissioner. As you know, New York City Buildings Department ensures the safe and lawful use of buildings and properties by enforcing the Building Code and Zoning Resolution. Today, I'd like to talk to you about cranes in high-rise construction. The first major steam-powered derrick was used in a building construction back in Brooklyn in 1878. And over the years, we have come a long way, and the advent of tower cranes has replaced derricks as a primary mode of hoisting material in high-rise buildings. Today, I'd like to talk to you about the different types of tower cranes, talk to you about temporary electric service and process, and the requirements and being able to actually process that effectively and efficiently. Primarily in New York City, there are two different types of needs on a construction site for cranes. One is for concrete and the other is for steel buildings. Concrete buildings require a higher line speed, lower capacity, and need to be able to move the concrete to establish and be able to achieve a 2 to 3 day per floor pour cycle. In steel buildings, these require a higher capacity and a lower line speed due to the size of beams and columns lifted into place. Certainly there are different types of tower cranes. There are luffing tower cranes, we have hammerhead tower cranes, we have internal climbing and external climbing tower cranes. Each one has a specific need and satisfies a specific process. Engineers looking to build a building make these decisions based on need, based on type of building, and also the urban landscape of what is most easily to be achieved and the safest option. So high-rise construction is up in New York City, and that's a good thing. What it also means is that there's a need for tower cranes. And what we're finding is that the newest tower cranes are actually built to accept power from electric, not from diesel or oil or gas. And what we're finding is that these new tower cranes require electrical services early on in the process. And today what I'd like to do is just highlight the work that we've been doing with the utilities to be able to provide that power early on in the construction process. So the first thing you might ask is why are we even talking about electric tower cranes? Actually, since the 1970s, many manufacturers have been moving towards using electric as a way to power a crane versus diesel. And over the years, they've been able to become much more efficient at their job. Using variable speed drives, advanced hoisting winches, and much more energy efficient has allowed for electric tower cranes to become the choice of most developers. Certainly there's less maintenance required, and there's environmental advantages as well. Several features that are available on new electric tower cranes that are based on EN14439 really make construction sites safer. The types of features we're finding on these new cranes are better luffing limit switches, crane operator comfort, and better anti-collision systems to protect other buildings and other cranes on the construction site. These new electric tower cranes are chock full of great features that allow the construction site and the operator to be much safer. They're designed using current technology and the latest means and methods. They're utilizing computer-aided interfaces such as the load moment indicator. They have embedded cameras that help the operator. They also have positive limit switches that prevent overloading and underloading. Of course, they provide crane operator comfort and great advances in technology to track crane components and anti-collision systems. Currently in New York City, we have 68% of our current registered tower cranes to be hydraulic cranes, and these are diesel powered. And only 32% are electric, but it's on the rise. And so what the department has been doing is working with the utility provider to make sure that developers, contractors, and service providers can get an electric service easily in order to build a building. We formed an electrical committee to discuss what the requirements from the main manufacturers are, and also identify the timing of when that information is available by contractors. We talked about tower crane power requirements, the current construction industry practice, and we also talked with the utility, and in this case we spoke with Con Edison. The end goal is to be able to make the appropriate request at the appropriate time to make it much more efficient for Con Ed to deliver the power and for the contractor to be able to receive that power when needed. During the conversation and discussion, we identified that the typical power needed at a construction site of a high-rise building without a new tower crane is about 500 amps. Now, with a typical electric tower crane consuming about 400 amps alone, the total power needed is approximately 1,000 amps. We looked at many manufacturers, such as Lieber, Potain, and Wolfcran, and these manufacturers all revolve around needing a 300 to 400 amp service. So knowing that information, we went to Con Edison and talked to their engineering department. And we identified how we can actually work together so that a developer, when they're planning to install a service, has the right amount of time to actually get that service into place prior to getting that building built. So we identified when the load letter is required, what information is needed during that request, certainly options of what we call point of entry, in other words, depending on the road where the service would be placed and where the crane would actually be, and then also identifying the service and design requirements of the construction project. During our conversations in the committee, a construction timeline for a typical 40-story new building was studied and identified that a temporary load letter needed to be submitted at the time of submission of the permanent load letter. This would allow Con Edison to be able to have enough lead time during their work process to provide temporary power and the full power for the construction project, as well as the permanent service. So for the full presentation given at BuildSafe LiveSafe Conference, please refer to the reference section of the Department of Buildings website and check up on the details. Good luck, and thank you for listening.